知音服务员与聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2019年10月2日，星期三。我们又一次荣幸地邀请到了 Radhacharan Prabhu 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya Jain》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai
Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda。Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Guru Bhakta Vrinda
Jai
Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra
Jai Guru Bhakta Vrinda
Reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 19 Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami
今天我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya Jain》是《Chaitanya Charitamrita》Madhya Lila 通篇逍遥的第十九章，主是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导是 Rupa Goswami。
We are speaking today from Shanghai。
我们今天是在上海给大家播讲。
And we continue reading from the instructions of Lord Chaitanya。
我们继续来讲是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导。
This section is specifically about the plant of bhakti.
这一章呢，主要是围绕着 bhakti 奉爱的爬藤展开的。
And there are some important points to keep in mind.
那在这里呢，在这里有一些要点，我们都是要牢记在心的。
Firstly, at the beginning of those teachings, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa Goswami that the science of devotional service is just like a drop of the ocean of love of Krishna.
那么在这个教导的一开始，是 Rupa Goswami 就是说，这个奉爱的科学就好像是这个奉爱的海洋中的一滴。
So he is only going to give a little sample.
所以呢，他现在就会举一些小的例子。
And this sample is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presentation on the science of devotional service.
那么这些例子呢，就呈现了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对奉爱的科学的一个呈现。
And those teachings are included in one single chapter.
那么所有的这些内容就囊括在一章之中。
Now, at the end of this chapter, Lord Chaitanya will tell Rupa Goswami, now you heard those instructions, now you can just elaborate on it.
那么在这个这一章的这个结束的这个部分呢， Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sri Rupa Goswami 说，现在呢，你已经聆听了有关奉爱的这个科学，你现在可以开始进一步去阐释。
So,What Lord Chaitanya means by elaboration means that he is expecting Rupa Goswami to write many books on the science of devotional service.
那么当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给予 Sri Rupa Goswami 这个训谕，让他去进一步详尽的阐释的时候，其实他就是在叫 Sri Rupa Goswami 可以就这个奉爱的这个科学，可以去撰写大量的文献。
Right now, he's just giving him the essence.
那现在呢，他只不过就是把这个精髓、精要的这个部分讲给 Rupa Goswami 听。
And these teachings will be spoken for 10 days.
那他的这个教导呢，一直持续了十天。
When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will instruct Sanatana Goswami next, he will speak to him for 2 months.
那么。再一次当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 去教导 Sri Rupa Goswami 的时候，那那一次就延续了两个月。
So Srila Rupa Goswami later on, as we know, will write many books on these particular teachings.
那么后来呢，我们也知道 Sri Rupa Goswami 就 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给他的这个教导写了很多的书籍。
And later on, other acharyas will take on the work of the Goswamis and also elaborate in their own terms.
那后来呢？之后的那些 acharya 们，那些先师们， 他们也继承了六沟斯瓦米的这些教导和这些文献，那么就进一步的以他们的这种方式进一步的进行阐释。
So these are the teachings that we receive from the Guru Parampara.
那么这就形成了我们从这个 Guru Parampara 也就是师徒传承的这个教导。
Those teachings are there to enrich the progress on the path back to Krishna.
那么就是所有的这些教导呢，使得我们回归神守的这条道路变得更加的充盈丰富。
They are also meant to protect the devotee so that the path back to Krishna will be very smooth.
而且呢，这也是对奉献者的一个祝福，让奉献者能够非常顺利的回归神守。
In other words, there are two aspects to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
那换句话说呢，就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的仁慈体现在两个方面。
Because Lord Chaitanya is being glorified as being Namo Mahavadanyaya.
那因为 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他一直被荣耀为是 Namo Mahavadanyaya.
He is a very compassionate.
他是非常的仁慈的。
Aspect of Krishna.
它是主 Krishna 的非常仁慈的展示。
And he gives freely pure love for Krishna.
而且呢，他自由的去派发对 Krishna 的爱。
He does not discriminate from one person to another.
他没有这个分别心。
So that love for Krishna is distributed freely through the Sankirtan movement.
那么这种对 Krishna 的爱就是通过 Sankirtan 运动，齐颂圣名的运动，得到了大量的自由的派发。
And this love for Krishna, which we are all hankering for, is based on the principle of bhakti.
那我们呢，对于 Krishna 的爱的这种渴求，就表现在 bhakti 奉爱的原则之中。
And bhakti is fully independent.
Bhakti 它是独立的。
Bhakti is one of the energy of Krishna's internal energy.
Bhakti 奉爱是 Krishna 内在的能量。
So without bhakti, it's not possible to make any progress.
如果没有了 bhakti, 没有奉爱，一个人是根本不可能有任何进步的。
And bhakti can give pure love to Krishna to someone who is very fallen.
而且即便是对于一个非常堕落的人，同样的，他也能够得到 bhakti.
And also hold back to someone who is not qualified.
那如果说一个人他还不具备资格的话，那么他可能就不会得到这个 bhakti.
So on one hand, there is a lot of mercy available.
那么一方面而言呢，这个仁慈是无所不在的。
If we make ourselves a proper recipient.
那如果我们能够让自己成为一个合格的接受者。
On the other hand, there are so many rules and regulations.
另外一方面呢，伴随而来的还有许许多多的这些规范原则。
So many obstacles.
我们也会遇到很多的困难。
And different steps that we have to go through in order to go from the conditional state to the completely purified state.
而且呢，我们必须要跨越一个一个的障碍，经历一个又一个的阶段啊，才能够去摆脱这种原本的局限的这种状态，而达到纯粹的爱。
And as we often mention, not everyone comes to Krishna consciousness with the same level of purification.
那就像我们之前也给大家说的一样。进入到 Krishna 知觉中的人，并不是说所有的人都是在同样的一个进化的程度的。
So, we understand also from the scriptures that there are three different kind of activities which are beneficial for spiritual life.
那我们从这个经典当中就是知道， 有三种活动是有益于我们的灵性生活的。
One is Karma Yoga.
第一个就是 Karma Yoga, 业报瑜伽。
One is Dhyana Yoga.
第二个就是 Dhyana Yoga, 四
念瑜伽。And one is Bhakti Yoga.
然后第三个是 Bhakti Yoga, 泛爱瑜伽。
But Karma Yoga and Dhyana Yoga cannot be influential onto Bhakti. They are not a prerequisite qualification.
那么但是呢，这个 Karma Yoga, 业报瑜伽，还有 Dhyana Yoga, 四念瑜伽，并不是 Bhakti Yoga 的一个先决的这个条件，换句话说，这两者对于这个 Bhakti 不会产生丝毫的影响。
We may have a life in goodness, we may be very compassionate, very charitable, very honest.
那如果可能呢，我们是处在一种善良的形态当中，我们非常的仁慈，我们这个乐善好施，我们助人为乐。
Or we may have great knowledge.
或者说呢，我们呢也非常的博学。
Or we may be very austere.
或者是相当的苦行。
We may be very expert in perfection of yoga.
或者呢，我们在这个瑜伽当中呢，就是力求完美。
But these are not qualifications for bhakti.
即便达到瑜伽的完美境界，那这些呢也不见得就是能够导向这个 bhakti 分爱的。
So.We know from scriptures that Krishna is situated within the heart of all living entities.
从经典中我们知道 Krishna 是安住在每一个人的心中。
And from Bhagavad Gita we understand that Krishna as the super soul within the heart has two functions.
那从博伽梵歌中我们也知道 Krishna 他以超灵的这个身份在每一个人的心中，他会行使两个职能。
One is that he is a witness.
首先呢，他是一个目击者。
In other words, he sees and hears everything.
也就是说呢，我们的一举一动，他都可以看见，他也都可以听见。
And the other is that he is a permitter. In other words, he allows the conditioned souls in any species of life to do whatever they want.
另一方面呢，他也是一个准许者。换句话说呢，受条件性的性质的灵魂，无论是在哪一个生命的这个形体之内，哪一个种族当中，他们想做一些什么事情，可是呢是不加干涉的。
But then the living entity is responsible for the consequences of their actions.
但是生物体一定要为他所做的这个活动而带来的结果负责。
So the super soul will accompany the jiva.The individual soul all throughout the journey in this material world.
那对这个 jiva, 这个凡灵来说，它在整个物质世界的旅程当中都有超灵伴随。
And at some point, some of those jivas will come in contact with devotional service.
然后呢，在某一个时刻，这些 jiva, 这些普通的灵魂，他们就有机会。能够接触到奉爱服务。
That is the work of Bhakti Devi.
那这个呢是 Bhakti 奉爱女神的作用。
There's no calculation, there's no timing, there's no circumstances, there's no place to try to understand how Bhakti will come.
那么这个 Bhakti 奉爱女神，她究竟会怎样的这个降临？他会在什么样的时间、什么样的地点、在什么样的一种情形之下，这些都是无法预知的。
We happen to be at the right time, at the right place for the right people.
我们只不过是在一个合适的时间，在一个合适的地点，与恰当的人在一起罢了。
And the mercy begins to flow.
然后就这样的这个仁慈就流淌了出来。
So from that point on.This is what we understand as the first level of Krishna consciousness, which is Shraddha.
那这个呢，这一点，这一个时刻呢，就是我们所说的 Shraddha, 也就是信心，就是说我们的奉爱的这个程序的一个起步，一个基础。
Shraddha means faith.
Shraddha 的意思就是信心。
And faith is that it's like a tiny little spark which is in the heart.
信心呢，就好比是内心的一个小小的火花。
And when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, that spark turns into a small flame.
那当我们接触到了分爱服务的时候，这个小小的火花就燃成了火焰。
Now, when I mentioned just now that the super soul accompanies the conditioned souls and allow them to do things.
那刚才我提到了这个超灵，它会伴随着受条件限制的灵魂。并且准许这个受条件限制的灵魂随心所欲地做他想做的事情。
The super soul allows the jiva to act in whatever way they want because the super soul will hand over the care to material nature.
那为什么这个超灵呢？他会允许这个受条件限制的灵魂随心所欲做他想做的事情呢？是因为其实最终这个超灵他会把对这个灵魂的这个照顾的任务交托给 Bhakti Devi、
yeah.
对这个物质自然，他会交托给这个物质自然。
So in the material world, the living entities, the conditioned souls in any species of life only deal with material energy、
所以呢受条件限制的这个凡灵，这个普通的灵魂，它这个在这个物质世界的时候，它只是就是与这个物质的自然能量打交道。
But when people do something or something happens and people don't understand why, it's very easy to understand through scriptures is because the conditioned souls act in a certain way and material nature replies in a certain way.
那当一个这样的受条件限制的灵魂在物质世界做了一些什么事情，然后呢遭到了一定的这个后果，而他又百思不得其解的时候，那从经典里面我们就会知道，那是因为呢这个灵魂他以自己的这种意志在做一些事情，但是物质自然呢又遵循他的这个规律，以相应的以一种特定的方式回应他，所以这就会有这样的一种情况。
Krishna is not involved.
但是呢在这里这个 Krishna 并不直接的参与。
The super soul is not involved.
超灵他也不参与。
So then the question may be raised.
那现在呢可能就会产生这样的一个问题。
At what point does Krishna personally get involved?
就是说Krishna 的这个直接的亲身的这种参与是从哪一刻开始的呢？
And the answer is that Krishna begins to be involved when the conditioned soul makes his or her first steps into the process of devotional service.
那就是当这个受条件限制的灵魂他在这个奉爱的路途上主动的走出第一步的时候，这个时候 Krishna 就会亲自的参与了。
By chanting,
比如说他可能开始念诵了。
By associating with devotees,
或者是跟奉献者联谊了。
By taking prasadam,
然后呢或者是通过荣耀菩萨等
by seeing the deities,
或者去觐见神像
in any form that the conditioned souls come in contact with devotional service, Krishna begins to reciprocate.
无论受条件限制的灵魂以一种什么样的方式接触这个奉爱 Bhakti, 那这个 Krishna 都会从那一刻开始亲自的介入。
Now that flame, that small flame of Shraddha of faith can be ignited into a burning flame or it can remain a very, very small flame for a long time.
那这个 Shraddha 就是这个信心的这个小火苗呢，它也可以燃成熊熊大火，但是也有可能在很长的一段时间里都只是保持在一个小火焰的形状。
So then another question may be raised,How does this flame become bigger?
那现在我们可能就要提出第二个问题，这个小火苗什么时候才能够燃成熊熊大火呢？
And the answer is very clear.
那这个答案也是非常清晰明了的。
Only by association with devotees.
只有在和奉献者的联谊之中才可以。
So when we are in association with devotees,plant of bhakti can grow.
那也就是说呢，当我们与奉献者联谊的时候，这个 bhakti 奉爱的植株就开始生长了。
And of course, the more advanced those devotees are, the better it is.
那当然了，当我们就是，联谊的这些奉献者越是精进的话，那这个植奉爱的这个植物就长得越快。
And this is a statement which has been made by all the acharyas.
那么这也是所有的 acharya 们历代的先师们的断言。
Without association with the devotees, it's very difficult to make spiritual progress.
就是如果没有奉献者的联谊的话，那个就是在奉爱的这个路途上将举步维艰。
So if we think we can make spiritual progress by being on our own all the time or avoiding the association of devotees, we are fooling ourselves.
那如果说我们以为自己可以只身一人不依赖 Krishna 奉献者的这个联谊就能够在灵性的道路上进步的话，那只不过是自欺欺人罢了。
That's the main reason.Why should a Prabhupada establish the International Society for Krishna Consciousness?
那为什么 Srila Prabhupada 要建立起国际 Krishna 知觉协会呢？其原因就在此了。
Srila Prabhupada himself mentions that he created this movement for devotees to have association with each other, but also for him to have the association of his own disciples.
那 Srila Prabhupada 就亲口说过这样的话，他之所以要建立这个 Krishna 知觉运动，是因为奉献者和奉献者之间能够有机会在一起联谊，而与此同时，他本人也可以得到奉献者的联谊。
You don't see or you don't hear of Srila Prabhupada constantly associating with his god brothers.
你可能很少听见也很少见到这个是拉帕布帕一直和他的神兄弟在一起联谊。
99% of his time he was spending it with his own disciples.
那他有99%的时间都是和他的门徒们在一起度过的。
And even though Srila Prabhupada was seated on the highest platform of devotional service, he very much enjoyed the association of his disciples who were very neophytes.
那就算是 Srila Prabhupada 他已经在这个奉爱服务当中已经达到了最高的这个境界，但是呢，他依然非常的享受和他的这些门徒们的这种联谊，而他的这些门徒又是非常出席的奉献者。
So in the previous verses that we have been reading, we discuss how bhakti comes in the form of a plant.
那在前面的这个师节当中呢，我们就是讲到这个 bhakti 奉爱就是以一个植株的形式出现的，那么把它称为爬藤，就是奉爱的爬藤。
And this creeper needs to be protected.
那这样的一个一株奉爱的爬藤，它是需要得到保护的。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to go to quite extensive explanation about the nature of this creeper and how it grows.
那这个奉爱的爬藤，它的本性是怎样的？它又如何才能够健康的这个成长呢？这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就把它就是更加的展开，更加详细的谈了一遍。
And after you will explain the nature of this creeper.He will explain where it goes.
那当他谈到了这个奉爱的爬藤的性质之后，他又讲到了这颗这个奉爱的爬藤，它的生长的方向是什么？它会到哪里去
？Which is basically to enter into the spiritual realm and take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan.
简而言之，就是它会一直到达。这个灵性世界，而且呢，托庇于 Goloka Vrindavan 的 Krishna 的莲花足下。
And after he has explained that, he will begin to explain the different relationship with Krishna on the pure platform of devotional service.
那当他讲完了这个奉爱的爬藤的整个生长的过程，并且到达了这个终点之后，他接下来要探讨的就是这些不同的在灵性世界的灵魂跟 Krishna 之间究竟是一种什么样的关系。
So this will be the sum and substance of the summary teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami.
那这个呢，就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Rupa Goswami 的教导的一个精髓的部分。
And Rupa Goswami will in turn later on write what is known as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
那之后呢 ，Rupa Goswami 他就撰写了就是Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 奉爱的甘露之羊这部书。
Which Srila Prabhupada summarized as the nectar of devotion.
那后来呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 呢也把它浓缩为一部书，叫做奉爱的甘露。
Now, later on, one other great acharya, who is known as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
那之后呢，又出现了一位非常伟大的 acharya， 叫做 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur。
Wrote another small book called Madhurya Kadambini.
之后他又写了一部小书，叫做 Madhurya Kadambini.
Madhurya Kadambini means a bank of clouds of nectar.
那就是Madhurya Kadambini 的意思呢，就是奉爱的云朵。
In other words, just imagine different. Like yesterday here in Shanghai, we had such a heavy storm and heavy rain coming.
那确切的说是奉爱甘露的云朵。那就像是我们昨天在这个上海啊，就是下了这个暴雨。
And trees are falling off.Cars are flying everywhere.
那这个大因为是台风，所以这个大树呢都被刮得倒了下来。
So this is Madhurya Kadambini is a different kind of rain.
那 Madhurya Kadambini 呢，它是指的就是另外一种雨。
It's a very gentle but constant rain of nectar of Krishna consciousness.
它就是这个绵绵不断的那种雨，它不断的不断的在。它从来都不停止，就是它就是这个奉爱的这个甘露啊，一直一刻不停的从天而降的意思。
Just like the name Varshana.
这好像是 Varshana 这个词的意思。
So Varshana is the place where Radharani lives.
Varshana 是 Radharani 的家，她居住的地方。
And Varshana means rain.
Varshana 的意思就是雨。
But not just it's not rain in terms of water.
但是呢，它不是指的是这种，也就是会，不是水。
It's not water falling from the sky.
它也不是说从天而降的那种水，那种雨的形式。
It's rain of Krishna Prem.
它是Krishna Prem 对 Krishna 的爱的雨。
Okay, so.Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written this little book called Madhurya Kadambini.
那么这个 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 他就写了这部小书叫做 Madhurya Kadambini.
Based on those teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami.
这部书的这个基础其实就是 Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
And basically,It explains the different steps from the beginning stage of devotional service to the topmost stage of pure love for Krishna.
那实际上呢，在这部小书里面就讲到了奉爱服务的这个基础的，从第一步基础的这一步开始，一直到讲到了就是最终对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱的境界。
And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur especially.Has identified where are the obstacles.
那么 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 呢，他就专门的指出了我们的障碍在哪里。
When we don't understand when something goes wrong.
就是说呢，当我们遇到了一些困难的时候，但是却不明白为什么出了错的时候。
He can tell us.When things go wrong and why they go wrong.
他呢，通过这部书就告诉我们，什么时候可能会出现问题，而且为什么会出现问题。
So I would like to take you through these different stages. I'm not sure we can cover everything today.
那我今天呢，就要带着大家，这样子呢，就是过一遍 但是我不知道今天是不是有足够的这个时间把这些不同的阶段都讲完。
But I think it's important that we go through this because this is very much on the topic of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
但是我觉得我们一起来就是了解一下这部书以及这里面所讲的这个程序其实是非常的重要的，因为它的基础就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
So it begins with the seed of pure love for Krishna, which is in the heart of all conditioned souls.
那这部书的起点就是讲到的是在我们每一个人内心当中的对 Krishna 的爱的种子。
And by the association of devotees, we enter the first stage, which is Shraddha, or initial faith.
那么就是通过和奉献者的这个联谊呢，我们就达到了最达到了第一步，就是这个 Shraddha 的这样的一步。这个 Shraddha 的意思就是说初步的信心。
Now, when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness, we feel there is a difference in our life.
那么当我们与 Krishna 的奉献者接触的时候，我们就会非常真切的感觉到生活发生了变化。
We are actually capable by some unidentified force, we are capable to give up many things practically overnight.
我们好像被某一种力量所驱动的，然后几乎好像是一夜之间，我们就可以轻而易举地放弃很多的就是习性。
And this is all due to the association of the devotees.
这完全就是因为是和奉献者的联谊的缘故。
Two things happen when we begin the process of devotional service.
那这个 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 呢说，当我们开始做奉献服务的时候，会发生两件事。
One is that bhakti begins to act on the devotee.
第一个呢，就是 bhakti， 就是这种奉爱就开始作用于一位奉献者。
And bhakti acts in two ways.
而这个 bhakti 呢，它是以两种方式展示的。
It destroys material miseries.
第一个就是它摧毁了我们物质的痛苦。
And it gives auspiciousness.
然后呢，给予我们这个吉祥。
So what is it that's being destroyed?
那究竟是哪一些被它摧毁了呢？
Five kinds of miseries and four types of sins.
那就是说有五种痛苦，还有四种罪恶。
The five types of miseries are ignorance, false ego, natural attachment, hatred, and absorption in worldly objects.
那么在这里说到的五种痛苦呢，第一个就是愚昧，第二个就是假我，第三个就是依附，第四个就是憎恨，第五个呢就是对世俗事物的沉迷。
These miseries may still remain to some level.
当然这五种这个痛苦可能从某个程度上来说它还是会有残留。
They may even stay with us for some time.
可能呢还会伴随着我们好长一段时间。
But they are very drastically reduced.
但是呢较之以前呢它的确是有这个急剧的下降。
This is why Srila Prabhupada said,When you cut your finger and you bleed and you think it's painful, as a devotee, if you were not a devotee, you could have lost your arm.
这就是释迦牟尼佛为什么会这样说。他说呢，当奉献者不小心割到了自己的手指，流了点血的时候，那他应该要这样想，要不是成为奉献者了，可能整个胳膊都会失去。
Now there are four types of sins.
那接下来要说的就是四种罪恶。
One is the seed of sinful activities which are fructified.
第一个呢，就是说，就是这个罪恶的这个种子啊，它已经是结果了的，就是结果了的这个种子。
The other is the seed of sinful activities which has not yet fructified.
就是还有呢，就接下来的你说到的这个罪恶，就是说还没有结出果子，就是还没有成型，就是它是一个种子的形，就是 it's just like a seed of things, right?
Yes.
就是还是一个种子的形态存在的。
The other is the actual seed himself.
还有一个就是说是这个罪恶本身。
And the other is the desire for sinning.
还有一个呢，就是说有这个罪恶的欲望，这也是一个种子。
See, we don't realize how these things are going on.
那其实我们也不知道这个罪恶到底是怎么发展。
Because we think that when we see something or hear something or touch something or taste something, it has no reaction. But actually, there are consequences.
其实我们也是不知不觉的，当我们看到某一种东西、听到什么东西、尝到什么东西或者触碰到什么东西的时候，我们觉得无所谓，应该是没有反应、没有后果的。但是实际上它还是有的。只是没有知觉到而已。
That's why in the scripture it is mentioned, material nature is very, very complex.
所以说在经典里说这种物质自然是非常的错综复杂的。
And every step that we make in this material world can bring us the most unexpected consequences and dangers.
那这个物质在物质世界中每行一步都可能招致最出乎意料的这个后果。
So this is the first work of Bhakti Devi. She removes the miseries and she removes the sins.
所以呢，这个 Bhakti Devi， 奉爱的女神，她做的第一件事情就是消除我们的痛苦和罪恶。
Then the other thing that Bhakti Devi does is to bestow auspiciousness onto the devotee.
然后呢，第二个部分呢，就是他就把这个吉祥赐福于奉献者。
What kind of auspiciousness is that?
那么在这里说到的这个吉祥又是什么呢？
Kindness, mercy, forgiveness, truthfulness, simplicity, equality, patience, gravity, honoring others, not expecting respect, and all good fortune.
那这些吉祥包括什么呢？包括友善、仁慈、宽容、真诚、简朴、平等待人、耐心、庄重、就是荣耀他人，不祈求任何的别人对自己的尊重，还有一切的好运。
Yes. So.All these, the removing of miseries and the bestowing of auspiciousness, all these takes place when we associate with the devotees after our initial faith.
就是当我们已经建立起了初步的信心之后，我们和奉献者进行联谊。那么在这个联谊的过程当中呢，我们的这个罪恶，我们的这个痛苦就会逐渐的消散，然后呢，我们的这个吉祥就会越来越多。
But we have to remember.
但是我们还要牢记一点。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Tate mali yana kare kare avarana aparada hashira yoche nohoy udgama." The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter.
但是我们要小心一点，就像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说的一样，这个园丁呢，应当要在爬藤的周围建起一道篱笆，这样才能够保护这棵爬藤，不然的话呢，就是疯狂的大象，冒犯的大象，就会闯入到这个花园。
Therefore, Prabhupada says the neophyte devotee must protect this plant by being surrendered by pure devotees.
所以呢，释迦帕尔帕呢，他就警示奉献者们，一位初级的奉献者，他应当要让自己 尽量的置身于纯粹的奉献者之中。
But also, as Rupa Goswami explains, we have to be controlled.
那 Rupa Goswami 说呢，我们还要自律。
Controlling the tongue.
啊，我们要控制自己的舌头。
Controlling the belly.
啊，控制自己的胃。
Controlling the genitals.
啊，还有生殖器的冲动。
Controlling the mind.
还有心意。
Controlling the senses.
还有感官。
Otherwise, we are stifling that plant of bhakti.
不然的话，我们就会把这个bhakti 的这个小苗给窒息掉。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, sometimes unwanted creepers, such as desire for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, they grow along with devotional service. They look the same, but they are not the same.
那接着 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 又说，有的时候我们不想要的那些爬藤，比如说像物质享受的欲望的爬藤，或者从物质世界里解脱的那种欲望的爬藤呢，就会和奉爱服务的这个爬藤一起成长。那么这些不好的这些爬藤呢，是无穷无尽的。
And it's not like there is one little weed here, one little weed there. Mahaprabhu says these kind of creepers are unlimited.
并不是说这个杂草那样的爬藤。只不过这里有一点儿，那儿冒出一点儿，不是这样的。他说呢，是无穷无尽的，不计其数的。
So he just lists a few which are important: Nishidachar, Kutinati, Jiva Hansana, Labha, Puja, Pratishta, Yata Upakshata Gana, unnecessary creepers, such as unacceptable behavior.Trying to attain perfection, diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, mundane importance.
那么在这里呢，齐塔涅马哈帕布说，那些没有必要的，就是多余的这些爬藤会伴随着分爱的爬藤成长。那这些爬藤呢，就是包括对于那些祈求完美的人来说无法接受的一些行为，还有一些外交的手腕啊，然后对动物的屠杀，还有这个世俗的那种算计，还有就是祈求这种世俗的荣耀，然后这种虚荣心等等。
So Bhishma Chakravarti Thakur explains this very nicely.
那么 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 呢，对此做了非常好的这个解释。
Again, we begin at Shraddha, initial faith.
好，那我们呢，还是从这个 Shraddha 这个初步的信心开始说。
Where material misery is removed and auspiciousness is bestowed.
那么在这里呢，就是说物质的这个痛苦去除了，然后这个吉祥，明星的这个吉祥就开始降临了。
This is all happening by the mercy of the devotees. Association with devotees will purify us.
这两方面是怎么发生的呢？完全是仰赖于跟奉献者之间的这个联谊就是跟奉献者的这种纯粹联谊带来种种的吉祥。
Then we move to the next stage, which is called Vachana Kriya.
然后呢，就进展到了下一个阶段。这个阶段叫做 Bhajana Kriya.
So Bhajana Kriya means the activities of in devotional service.
Bhajana Kriya 的意思就是说奉爱服务中的活动。
But it's not pure devotional service. It's still very motivated.
但是这个阶段的这个奉爱服务呢，还达不到这种纯粹，还是掺杂着好些动机的。
So for example,In the early stage of Krishna consciousness, we may be very enthusiastic about everything.
比如说在这个 Krishna 知觉的这个早期，我们总是热情高涨，对每一件事情好像都充满着热情。
But sometimes we are very enthusiastic, sometimes we are not.
但是有的时候呢，它这个热情它也是有起伏的，有的时候很有热情，有的时候就没精打采。
Sometimes we say, okay, from tomorrow, I'm going to get up very early, chant all my runs, read Prabhupada's books before I go to work.
有的时候你就头一天你就下定决心，然后我第二天我一定要非常的早起，然后沐浴，然后念完所有的圈书，读师了快不快的书，还要做 RT， 然后再去上班。
And we do this for 3 days, and then after we sleep in until 8 o'clock in the morning.
然后呢，就这样子呢，这个就是鼓足了干劲儿，做了这个3天之后，就泄了气了，然后就变成早上8点钟才起来。
Sometimes we are fanatic, sometimes we are not.
就是有的时候呢，好像比较的狂热，然后有的时候呢，一点精神都没有。
We struggle to control our senses.
或者说呢，我们非常努力的试图去控制自己的感官。
Or we are not able to keep our vows.
就是。有的时候就是连自己的誓言可能都非常难以坚守。
Or we try to get benefit out of Krishna consciousness.
或者说呢，我们想好像不知不觉就想从 Krishna 知觉当中获利。
This period of bhajana kriya is normally usually when devotees decide to take initiation from the spiritual master.
那么这个就是在这样的一个阶段，往往发生在。一个奉献者，他就是渴望着，在等待着或者希望得到某一个灵性导师给他的启迪的这个阶段。
And they take vows.
那他们就发了誓言。
And they already have a service.
这个时候他们可能已经有了服务。
And they may receive instructions also from the guru.
那么可能也接受了 guru 给他的训谕。
But they may also face difficulty associating with devotees.
但是呢，也有可能在和奉献者的联谊过程当中遇到了好些困难。
And obviously they have doubts.
那显而易见呢，内心中也还存在着不少的困惑。
But it may not be the case for everyone.
但是这种情况呢，也是因人而异的。
For some devotees, it's easier than other devotees.
某些奉献者来说呢，可能要容易一些。对别的奉献者来说呢，可能就觉得是困难重重。
And for others, it may be constant struggle.
那对有一些人来说，可能就是一直不断的在那儿斗争挣扎。
And for some, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult.
那有的人呢，他是有的时候觉得很轻松哦。有的时候呢，就觉得极其的这个困难纠结。
So after we have come in contact with the devotees and we start practicing Krishna consciousness, we meet the spiritual master and we take initiation.
那么当我们有了初步的信心之后，我们就是跟就开始和奉献者联谊，然后就开始去收集这个奉爱服务。那之后遇到了这个灵性导师，托庇于灵性导师接受了。
So we should not forget the most important thing.
那在这时候，我们不要忘记了最重要的事情。
If we take initiation from a guru, we should ask for instructions.
如果说呢，我们接受了灵性导师启迪的话，那就应当去询问灵性导师是否可以给你这个训谕。
A simple instruction from a guru can save us and protect us from very great dangers in devotional service.
那来自于灵性导师的一个三言两语，非常简单的一个训谕，可能也可以帮助我们免除在奉爱路途上的最大的危险。
And we're not talking about the instructions to chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles. This is basic.
但是我们在这里所说的这个训谕或者训示，不是指的只是16圈，还有4个规范原则。因为这个训示它是最基础的。
Sometimes the gurus they add other instructions when the devotees take their vows.
有的时候呢，当奉献者去立誓的时候，就是说出自己的誓言的时候，灵性导师还会再额外的添加一些这个。
Such as never leave ISKCON.
比如说会增加一条，比如说永远不离开 ISKCON。
Such as read Prabhupada's books every day.
或者呢，再加上一句，就是每天阅读师拉帕尔帕的书。
But these are also general instructions.
但是这些其实也是比较普遍的，训谕。
We should beg the guru to give us personal instructions.
我们应当要祈求，恳求我们的 guru 能够给你个人一个训语。
Because what happens after initiation?
因为我们要想一想，在启迪之后会发生什么呢？
Now we have entered the family of the Vaishnavas.
那启迪意味着你正式的进入了 Vaishnava 奉献者的大家庭。
We have been introduced and accepted wholeheartedly by the entire Guru Parampara.
也就是说呢。我们呢被全身心的引荐到了这个整个的 Guru Parampara 师徒传承里面。
Krishna is paying attention. He is within the heart.
那换句话说呢，就是说，Krishna 呢，因为也在每一个人的这个心中，所以他也非常认真的关注了你。
He has manifested himself in the form of the Guru.
他是以这个 Guru 的这个形象。展现在了你的生活之中。
But now the real work begins.
那现在呢，这个真正的工作才刚刚的开始。
And as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur keeps saying, association of devotees is very much required for that particular phase.
那就像 Vishwanath Chakravarti, 他特别的指出的一样。就这一个阶段而言，和奉献者的联谊是至关重要的。
Because now we come to the stage of anartha nivritti.
因为我们现在呢就已经进入了一个新的阶段，这个阶段叫做 anartha nivritti.
Or removing all the obstacles on the path to bhakti.
或者换句话说。就是在这个时候，你要清除的是 bhakti 奉爱的路途上的一切障碍。
And there is a very nice analogy to illustrate this.
那在这里呢，有一个非常好的这个类比，可以来说明这一个阶段。
The cat.
猫。
Carries the kitten.
这个猫呢，母猫它的嘴里呢就衔着这个小猫。
How does the cat carry the kitten?
那这个母猫它是怎么带小猫的呢
？With the teeth.
它是用这个牙齿，就是咬着那个小猫。
And the kitten feels very safe.
它咬着它脖子上的那个部分，然后那个小猫呢，它就会觉得很舒服。
Then.The monkey.
然后还有一个例子就是猴子。
How does the monkey carry the baby monkey?
这个母猴它是怎么带小猴子呢 ？Under the.
The baby monkey
yeah,
has to hold.
Yeah.
By its own strength.
就是说，就是那个小猴子，我们都见过，小猴子它是在母猴的这个肚子这里，它是倒挂着的。所以这个小猴必须要紧紧地抓住这个母猴，它才不会掉下来。
Which one is the best position for the devotee, the kitten or the monkey baby?
那对于这个奉献者来说，哪一种境况是最好的？究竟是做那个小猫呢，还是做那个小猴呢
？Which one?
大家来想一想啊。
Should we let Krishna carry us like the cat and the kitten?
我们是希望。Krishna 能够像母猫带着小猫那样子来对待我们呢
？Or should we try to hold on to Krishna by our own strength？
还是用自己的力量，死死的抓住这个母猫的身体呢
？What did
you
say？
Kitten, cat.
The kitten. That would be easy, right？ Krishna comes to the material world, takes you out, brings you back to Krishna.You have absolutely no effort to make whatsoever.
那是不是就是我们在这物质世界，然后开始了降临到物质世界，带上我们，然后轻而易举就把我们带回了这个灵性世界，然后对我们来说好像是不费吹灰之力呢
？Or maybe it's the baby monkey.
还是小猴呢？像小猴那样呢
？But I have seen in Vrindavan when the mother jumps from one tree to another.And the baby monkey is holding on to the mom. Sometimes the monkey falls off.
那在伦纳文，我们有的时候也会看到这样的情景：这个母猴带着怀里的小猴从一棵树跳到另外一棵树，有的时候这个小猴它没抓住就跌了下来。
Neither one is valid.
这两个都无效。
not the kitten, not the baby.
You mean it's on its own?
It's by its own strength. You can't go back to Krishna by your own strength.
就是说你是不可能依靠自己的力量就回归 Krishna。
The actual position is the man in the well.
那么这两者呢，其实都是不可能的，就是这个小猫还是那个猴子。实际上我们就有第三个这个比喻，这才是我们真正的一个最好的状况，就好像是井里的一个人落井的一个人。
So when someone falls in the well, what happens?
如果一个人掉到了那个井里面，他会怎样呢？
They can't get out.
他怎么爬他也出不来。
So someone comes and throws a rope.
那有一个人过来就往井里面扔了一根粗绳子。
Now you have two options when someone throws a rope at you.
那如果呢，你是落井的那个人，有人给你扔了一根绳子，那你现在有两个选择。
You can either grab the rope and try to make your way out of the well by your own strength, but you may fall off again.
那你可以抓住这个绳子，凭着这个力量使劲地往上爬，但是有可能在爬的过程当中，你就又跌回了这个井底。
Or you may just hold on to the rope and tell the guy to pull you out by his own strength.
那第二个选择就是你抓住这个绳子，然后呢，你就大声的请那个井外的那个人，把你从这个井里面给拉出来。
But that's also not fair.
但是这个也不太公平。
The ideal situation is by your own strength, you pull yourself onto the rope, and the person who is holding the rope will pull you out at the same time.
那么最理想的这个状况呢，就是这两种努力都需要，一方面就是说你要紧紧地抓住这个绳子，靠自己的力量使劲地往上爬，然后另外一方面呢，就是井外的那个人，他也要使劲地把你从井里往上拽。
That's why Srila Prabhupada says, when you make one step towards Krishna, Krishna make 10 steps towards you.
这就是为什么Srila Prabhupada说，当你呢向 Krishna 努力地走出一步的时候，Krishna 他会向你走近十步。
And that's why also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, according to their surrender, I reward them accordingly.
那这也是为什么在国家梵歌里面 ，Krishna 他也是说，根据一个人的这个努力呢，他就会相应的给予回报。
So we have to understand what we are facing when we go through the stage of anatta nivritti, removing all obstacles on the path to bhakti.
所以呢，我们要非常清楚，在这个阶段 ，anatta nivritti， 也就是说，在这个bhakti 奉爱之途上的扫除障碍的这个阶段，的之中，我们会面临一些什么样的境况
？This is considered to be the longest phase, the most difficult part of our devotional life.
那么 anatta nivritti 的这个阶段被认为是我们在奉爱的路途上面最漫长的，也是最艰难的一个阶段。
So, the first one is obstacles born from past sinful activities.
第一个呢，就是说是来自于以往的先前的这个罪恶活动而带来的障碍。
And these are leftovers from the very beginning stage.
这个就是说从这个最初的那个阶段遗留而来的那些问题
ignorance, false ego, attachment, hatred, absorptions in worldly objects.
就是这个就是他的这个罪恶活动的那些残留，比如说你的这个愚昧啊、假我啊、依附执着呀，然后你的这个怨恨呐、还有就是痴迷于这个世俗的事物啊。就是这样的。
Remember, it was mentioned in the beginning stage, bhakti will remove all these, but they will not be removed completely.
那就像我们刚才所说的一样，在这个最初的这个阶段 ，bhakti 方案它会帮助我们清除掉一些这些就是我罪恶，但是却没有办法就是根除干净。
Then you have obstacles born from past.Pious activities.
还有就是从你的过往的虔诚活动而来的一些障碍。
In other words, we may be attracted to Krishna consciousness in this life, but we don't know what desires we had in the past life.
换句话说，我们可能被这个奉献服务的途径所吸引了，在这一世当中，但是我们却不知道我们前世到底是一种什么样的欲望。
Such as desire for liberation.
比如说这个祈求这个解脱呀。
That's for the Buddhists.
这个佛教徒他们是求解脱的。
Desire for heaven.
还有呢，就是祈求这个天堂。
That's Confucius.
这个是这个儒家里面。
Desire for material enjoyment.
然后还有对这个。
You following this?
还有就是物质享乐。This Christian.
Whatever.
Yeah, 对前面说到的那个，就是想上天堂了。这个基督徒他们是这样的。
Then you have obstacles born from imperfectly performed bhakti.
还有呢，就是一些障碍。这个障碍从哪儿来呢？就是说之前，还没有完善的从事 bhakti。
In other words, we perform devotional service, but we are expecting something in return.
换句话说，就是说我们是在从事的这些奉爱服务的，但是呢，我们还对结果，就是对这个回报。有所欲求
，such as material acquisitions。
比如说呢，希望在这个物质上有一些得益。
We may want people to worship us。
或者呢，也非常希望别人来崇拜自己。
We may want to get so much attention。
或者呢，总想着受人关注。
And then there are obstacles coming from offenses to the holy name。
然后呢，第四个的这个障碍，这一类指的是就是之前的这个因为冒犯而来的障碍。
So we have to work on all these by removing them one by one through attentive chanting, association with devotees.
所以呢，我们要非常的谨慎，在这个阶段，要通过非常专注的念诵，还有跟奉献者的这个联谊。一个障碍一个障碍的去清除。
But also worshipping the deities.
还有就是要通过崇拜神像。
Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam.
聆听圣典佛伽瓦。
And being in the consciousness of the holy dawn.
还有呢，就要努力的去保持一种圣地的知觉。
And we should understand what it means by being in the holy dawn.
而且我们也要明白什么叫做身在圣地。
And I am afraid to say, and I will be honest, that there are too many devotees who spend too much time in the holy dawn.
那我也非常遗憾的，也是，直话直说，就是我觉得在这个有奉献者在圣地花的时间太多了。
Going to the holy dawn is something very, very special.
其实啊。去圣地是非常非常特别的事情。
And whatever time we spend there must reflect on the rest of the year with intense sadhana and intense devotional service.
那么我们呢，在这个圣地度过了这么长的这些时间，无论我们在圣地获得了什么，都应当反映到这一年整年在除去圣地的这些时间之外的这些时间当中。我们的这种行为，包括我们是否非常的专注于我们的 sadhana， 还有我们是否积极的去从事奉献服务。
Otherwise, we are just going on a vacation. That is nothing else but a vacation.
否则的话呢，我们去到这个圣地，无非就像度假一样，除此之外，没有任何其他的意义。
Devotees who go to the holy dam, they should chant minimum 32 rounds to 64 rounds a day.
去到这个圣地的奉献者每天应当至少念诵32圈甚至到64圈。
They should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam for many hours.
他们每天都应该用几个小时的时间来聆听圣典薄伽瓦坛。
They should reduce their sleeping, they should reduce their eating.
要减少这个睡眠和进食。
And they should associate with pure devotees.
和纯粹的奉献者去联谊。
They should bow down in front of the deities.
应该在神像面前顶拜。
Otherwise, it is nothing else but a vacation.
不然的话，只不过是 一次度假而已。
So we have to be very careful in the process of removing obstacles from the heart.
所以呢，我们一定要在这个阶段，就是把内心中的障碍清除的这个阶段呢，就一定要慎之又慎。
So there is another stage which we don't have time to cover today.
然后呢，接下来还有一个阶段，但是我们今天可能没有时间来讲了。
Which is after one has gone through the process of anatta nivritti and moved to the steadiness in devotional service.
就是当一个人他经历了这个 anatta nivritti， 就是清除这个分二不足中的各种障的这个阶段之后呢？他就达到了一个非常稳定坚定的这个阶段，这个就这个就是一个坚定的阶段，你就是 Nishtha。
So we will read next week the next level which is matching what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Rupa Goswami。
那么我们下周呢然后我们再接下来讲这个新的这个阶段这个层面，那个部分呢也是与这个Chaitanya Mahaprabhu对 Rupa Goswami 的这接下来的这段教导所相应的。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 什么鬼歪的？马太吉，我们看一下大家有没有问题发上来。
Hare Krishna， 请大家提问。
Sometimes it's unconscious to us. We may feel very good about ourselves, but actually there are a lot of obstacles there.
Association with devotees and getting instructions from the guru.
那我就问了一个问题，在这个障碍的清除这个阶段，有的时候我们自我感觉非常的好，一点都感觉不到这个障碍的存在，或者觉得障碍很小。就是挺自以为是的，那我们怎么样才能够知道这个障碍在哪里呢？那 Radhakrishna Prabhu 的回答就是说，一方面要跟奉献者联谊，坚持联谊，另外一方面呢，要得到我们的灵性导师给予我们的训示。
By reading Prabhupada's books, we will identify those obstacles.
如果我们认真的去看 Srila Prabhupada 的书的话，我们就能够认出哪一些是障碍。
Also, if we are very sincere, Krishna will reveal them within our heart.
另外一方面就是，如果你自己是我们非常的真诚的话，在心中的 Krishna 是会向我们揭示的。
Actually, if we are very honest, we know exactly what obstacles we have. It's just a matter of whether we are prepared to remove them or not.
实际上，如果我们足够的诚实的话，对自己诚实的话，我们是完全可以知道这些障碍是。在哪里的会非常清楚，问题就是说我们是否已经做好了把这些障碍清除的准备。有一个问题来自于 Sumukhi Rada， 感恩 Pap 的精彩讲课和 Mataji 的翻译，请问在障碍的清除阶段，我们有时候会对 Guru 的仁慈有所期待，这也是一种物质的欲望吗？比如想获得 Guru 的 Maha 或者祝福的。Thank you very much for your wonderful class and also along with the translation of Mataji. My question is, at the stage of obstacles clearing, sometimes we would have some expectation for the mercy from the Guru. Is it also a material desire? For example, we want to get the Maha from the Guru or to get the blessing from Guru.
No, that's not. To have such a desire is not material.
去想获得 Guru 的 Maha 或者是祝福，这个并不是物质的欲望。
But the important thing is what is our motive behind that desire.
那这里的问题的关键就是在于你的这个愿望的背后，其动机是什么？
Maybe we just want attention.
或者只不过就是想让 Guru 多关注我们。
Maybe we just want to be recognized.
或者呢，就是想让自己突出，非常突出，然后让 Guru 能够一下子的注意到我们。
Or we understand with
受到认可。
Or we understand with humility that The mercy of the spiritual master can save us from the greatest type of danger.
It is from the humility.
Or if we are humble enough to understand what it means to get maha from the guru.
还有就是说我们是否真的是非常的谦卑真正的明白从孤儿那里得到这个 Maha 究竟是意味着什么我连着你的这个问题问一下哈就是有的时候我们想要得到 Maha 或者是祝福其实也有一种这个走捷径的那种心理是不是也这样呢就是有的时候我们觉得哦得到 Maha 祝福我可以不努力不怎么勤奋然后我就可以一下子在灵性上面有很大的这个进步 Is it also possible that sometimes we want to get Maha or blessings just to to easily attain a higher stage without our own effort? Yeah, I already said in Chinese. Yes. 对，有的时候我们的确是也有掺杂着这样的一种想法。好，我们再看一下下面还有没有其他的问题。那 Sumukhi Radha 继续询问，正如您所讲的，我很希望能够减少睡眠，更加早起来，提高念诵的品质，让白天的服务有更多的时间，但是的确很难克服懒惰和感到体力不足的障碍。我们是否要做到更大的苦行来使自己超越物质自然对躯体的制约呢？圣地居民可以每天只睡两个小时就可以饱满的服务，我们可能达到吗 ？As you said, I really want to decrease my sleeping time and to get up earlier to improve the quality of my chanting so that I can have more time for service during the day. However, it's very difficult sometimes to conquer my own laziness, inertia, and also the physical exhaustion. These are also my obstacles. Do we have to undergo more and bigger austerities in order for us to transcend the limit or the influence from the material nature?We see that the devotees in the holy dham, it's very easy to do that. They can only sleep for 2 hours but still serve with full spirit. Is it possible for us to attain that state?
Okay, so obviously maybe you misunderstood. I mentioned when you are in the holy dham, not when you are at home in China.
可能刚才你呢还是有点误解其实我刚才在这么说的时候指的是当我们在圣地的时候我们可以这样子去做
When you are in the holy dham definitely sleep reduction must be there eating reduction must be there increase of chanting must be there increase of hearing must be there
就是说当你真的是在圣地的时候那当然毫无疑问就要减少睡眠减少这个进食然后要增加你的聆听和念诵，这是必不可少的。所以我主要指的就是在圣地。
That you are going through exhaustion, you should sleep as long as it's necessary so you can be fit to do your work, to do your service, to do your sadhana.
那么就是说你提到了这个身体体力不足，比较的容易这个疲惫。在这种情况下呢，你就要就是有足够的这个休息和睡眠，这样子呢，你才会有非常充沛的这个精力去工作，然后去 sadhana，
to work, to sadhana, and to do service， 还有做服务。
And when you are a grandmother。
那如果你已经是做了祖母的这个年纪了
，then you can increase your sadhana.
你可以增加你的这个 sadhana.
And when you are 70 years old,
如果你已经七十了
，you can start chanting 64 rounds.
你可以开始试着念诵64圈。
Okay.
Sumuki Rada 继续询问，身边的奉献者好心的劝告，身体是很重要的，我们不是瑜伽师，不要超越自己的极限。那极限难道不是随着苦行不断的超越的吗？ Now devotees.
With a good intention, try to convince us that the physical health is very important and we are not yogis, we shouldn't try to go out of our limit. But that kind of limit, does it also increase and we should constantly transcend our limit as the austerity increases?
Meaning that when we do austerities, we constantly transcend our limit. We should make that effort.
No.
Is that true or not?
No. You have to understand what austerity means.
就也不完全是你这样讲的，你的意思就是说，就是我们必须要明白什么叫做苦行。
Austerity in ignorance, austerity in passion, austerity in goodness.
因为我们知道的有明昧形态的苦行、激情形态的苦行，还有善良形态的苦行。
So austerity in goodness, that's what is required.
那我们需要的就是善良形态中的苦行。
Srila Prabhupada said, following four regulative principles, that is our austerity.
但是呢，爸爸他说了，最遵循这个。这个规范原则，这本身已经是我们的苦行了。
But chanting 16 rounds should not be an austerity; it should be a pleasure.
但是呢，我们要记住，就是念诵十六圈不应当被归于我们的苦行之列，它应当是我们的喜悦。
Lord Rishabdev told his 100 sons, "Tapo divyam prutrakayena sattvam shudyet tasmat brahmashokyam panantam." Tapo divyam, austerity must be divine; it must be for the pleasure of Krishna.Not that we are thinking I'm doing something which is very difficult and I'm not enjoying myself in Krishna consciousness.
那么 Rishabhadev 对他的一百个儿子他有一个训示，那么在开始的时候他说到 Tapo Divyam, 意思就是说这个苦行呢应当是神圣的，以神性的这个苦行为前提的。换句话说，你这个苦行的目的应当是要为了取悦 Krishna, 让 Krishna 高兴，而不是让自己好像在这个奉献服务的这个过程当中，非常的这个受苦，让自己非常的不快乐，非常的这个忍受，而不是这样的。
So, there is a fine line when you move from the necessity control of the body and the senses so that you can become purified, and then from then on, you don't call them austerities anymore, it's just pleasure for pleasing Krishna.
那一方面呢，我们要控制自己的身体，控制自己的感官，然后使自己得到这个足够的这个净化，然后在经历了这样的一个适度的苦行之后，我们就会逐渐品味到这个奉爱服务当中的这种喜悦和快乐，而在这两者之间它是有一个非常微妙的界限的。
If you look at the life of the Goswamis, austerity does not evenThe word is not even proper to describe what austerities they perform. But they didn't even think of austerities. They were just completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
那如果我们来看一看六个 Swami 的这个生活的话，可能苦行这个词语都不足以来表达他们所从事的这种活动。但是呢，他们从来都不会觉得自己是在苦行，他们时时刻刻的都沉浸在爱 Krishna 的这种幸福和喜悦之中，他们是时时刻刻的在超然的狂喜之中的。
In other words, you can say, I have to reduce my sleep so I can do more chanting.
换句话说，你可以说我要减少我的睡眠，这样呢，我就可以增加我的念诵。
And move on to the stage where I don't need to sleep because I want to chant.
然后呢？在接下来可能一段时间之后会到这个阶段，你会觉得我不需要睡眠，我只想念诵。
Or you can say I need to eat a lot of prasadam to become purified.
你可以说我需要很多的这个 prasadam 来得到这个自我净化。
Or I don't need to take a lot of prasadam because I am too absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
或者呢，你也会到这么一个阶段。 就是说我完全的沉浸在 Krishna 知觉当中了，其实都不需要吃什么了。
So austerity is of different nature.
所以呢，这个苦行的它的性质是什么？这个也是不定的。
It's a gradual process and it has to be natural when we get taste when hearing and chanting.
苦行呢，它应该是一个自然而然的这样的一个过程，它应当伴随着我们在就是聆听和唱诵的品味不断增加的这个情况下，就是自然而然的伴随的是出现的。
In the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada mentions this. He said, in the beginning stage, we have to crawl to Mangalarti. When we become advanced, we want to run to Mangalarti.
在梵的甘露当中，释迦帕帕他说，我们在初级的这个阶段的时候，是爬着去参加这个蒙格拉底早上的吉祥灯谜的。但是当我们进步之后，我们是迫不及待的奔向这个蒙格拉底的。
Mukirada 继续说，也就是我们如果觉得很喜乐去做这些常规做不到的，那就是可以去做，但是不要勉强为之，是吗？
I would like to confirm with you, do you mean that if we can do all these so-called austerity with bliss or happiness, if we can do all these things that ordinary people can't do with a happy heart, then we can do it. We shouldn't force ourselves artificially. Is that right?
That's right. We need the ultimate objective is higher taste.
我们要知道你说的不错。就是最终极而言的话，其实最终我们要达到的是一种更高的品类，这个是关键中的关键。
Like the gopis, when Krishna had a headache, everybody was, Krishna says, my headache will go away if I get the dust from the devotees. And everyone refused, except the gopis. They said, we'll go to hell even if Krishna's headache is gone.
就好像是当 Krishna 头疼的时候，他说只要我有这个奉献者莲花足下的尘土附在我的头上，我的头疼就会消失那其他的人都不愿意给这个尘土，只有Gopi木牛姑娘们心甘情愿的把脚下的尘土给 Krishna。 他们说呢，即便是我们因此而下地狱我们也绝不后悔。
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so we'll stop now.
好，那我们今天的课就讲到这里。
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, thank you very much.
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 非常的感谢你。
Krishna Premi Mataji, thank you very much.
Krishna Premi Mataji, 很感谢。
Thank you for the devotees to listen patiently during the national holiday 70th anniversary Kijai.
感谢所有的奉献者在国庆节这个70周年大庆的时候还来聆听我们的讲课，非常的感谢40周年 TGI。
Let's be very kind to Mother China who is giving us an opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness.
那让我们要感恩我们的祖国母亲，因为她给予了我们去传播 Krishna 知觉的机会。
It's the best field in the world.
我觉得这个是世界上最美妙的一片土地。
It's the best field in the universe.
这是宇宙中最美妙的土地。
Kashadesh Yatra Ki
Jai,
Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai,
Bho Pramanandi Hari
Hari Bho.百坤大金服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的璀璨年轻是璀璨的 Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束，我们下周同一时间星期三早上7点再见。 Hare Krishna。